Hey, what's up, everybody? My name's TJ.
Let's welcome you guys to the second episode of the Know It All Podcast. Today's Monday, the 5th of August, 2013.
And with today being Monday, I know everybody's in waiting to hear what goes on with the Biogenesis thing. I really don't want to make it all about Alex Rodriguez, but that's kind of what's been going on and what's happening. Everything about Johnny Manziel, Johnny Football, that's all been going on for about a day now, so I've got a little bit about that to talk about. More football news than I really kind of thought would be going on in the beginning of August. And really, since last week, I ended up getting a little bit sidetracked, which is completely unlike me, except not. I wanted to go back and kind of at least start off with a little bit of the music side of me. I did talk for a little bit about music last week, but I really got very quickly sidetracked and started talking about sports. So, with that being said, I just wanted to elaborate a little bit on the bands that really got me going in the direction that I ended up with music, and a couple of guys that I've seen recently, and bands that I've seen recently, and that kind of stuff. So as far as bands that have gotten me where I am, and the music that kind of pushed me in the direction that I'm in now, there's a band called Blink-182, and I'm sure that young or old, or I guess adult size, but young at heart like I am, you've definitely heard of these guys. They are pop punk. They're a pushing trio. Like, these guys are awesome. I remember when I first heard them, I was in probably 5th grade, 6th grade. The song that I heard was All the Small Things, and I'm sure that you've heard it somewhere or another. It's off the album Enema of the State, and, you know, it's just, it's one of those songs that it gets, you hear it and it gets stuck in your head, and it's just awesome. It's just a great song. One of the reasons that I think I started liking these guys, their drummer at this point was a guy named Travis Barker, and he has become known for so many different things besides Blink-182. He's a hell of a drummer, but he's also a producer. He started his own label. He's played with quite a few people. He played with the people on the finale of American Idol in the spring of 2013. That was pretty cool. He's done a lot of stuff. He's a pretty well-known guy. Moving on, there's another band called Incubus. They're another early 90s. They're still active. I mean, Blink-182 still makes CDs too. They just came out with another album. Incubus, they started out probably like 93, I think, something early like that. But they're an amazing, they're a really good band, man. I recently, this past Christmas, got Incubus Alive at Red Rocks. And if you've never heard of Red Rocks, I highly suggest at least checking it out, if not going to see a band there. It's this giant venue out in Colorado that I wish I could describe it. I can't do it justice by talking about it, because I don't want to undersell it. I mean, this place is, it's all outdoors, it's all natural, it's, I mean, you're open to the night sky. Like, check it out, man. Google it. I know it's on Google. Of course, you know, it's 2013. I'm sure it's on Wikipedia. I know there's 1,000 YouTube videos of bands there. I'm sure you could find Incubus Alive at Red Rocks on YouTube. So, if you do, I would suggest looking up probably Stellar Alive at Red Rocks, because that's a good song. By Incubus live at Red Rocks. That's pretty good. The Foo Fighters, Everybody's heard of the Foo Fighters, man. Dave Grohl was the drummer for Nirvana, and I used to be a big, well, I still kind of am, but a big poo-pooer of Nirvana, because, you know, Kurt Cobain and all this other stuff, and grunge music. Dave Grohl is really talented. He's a insanely good musician, and I used to just think that, oh, he was associated with Nirvana, so he's no good, but, you know, Travis Barker, the guy that plays drums for Blink-182, started out as the drummer for the ska band. Now he's a drummer for, I mean, the Transplants, Blink-182, Plus 44, and nobody really knows who the Aquabats are, which is the band that he kind of started out with, and, you know, they were touring and opened up for Blink-182, but Dave Grohl was, you know, playing drums with Nirvana only because they needed a drummer. Like, he's always been a guitar player, but Nirvana needed a drummer, so he said, yeah, you know, I like the kind of music that these guys play and just the vibes that they have, so I'll play drums because I want to be around these guys. So he's just that good of a musician. And Taylor Hawkins is the guy that plays drums for the Foo Fighters. They're just all around talented guys. There's a song called Everlong, and there's a version of Everlong, live in Central Park, and it's, wow. I mean, if that version of that song does not bring tears to your eyes, then you're a heartless person. that song's amazing. And that's really, I mean, there's a bunch of older classic bands that, you know, I love. Billy Joel, I've always liked Billy Joel because the way he can paint a picture with his, not just his music and his piano playing, and but his words. I mean, the guy's lyrics are phenomenal. And what one of his songs that's always been my favorites is Vienna. And it's a good song. The meaning in that song is beautiful. The Who, I'm sure everybody knows who The Who are. Keith Moon, man. I don't know what else to say other than that. Keith Moon, man. He's awesome. Styx is another one of those bands that just, they paint a picture. They have, but not just songs. They don't just paint pictures out of songs. They have entire albums that, I said it yesterday. They are to album style music what the Grateful Dead are to live music. And maybe that's not a great comparison, but in my head it makes sense. But they just, they're awesome. They tell story and with an album. I mean, the first song and the last song completely line up, and it's, Styx is just an awesome band. The Police are a great song, or a great band. Not really great people, but a great band. And I would love to see a Police show. That would just be, oh my god, that would be so awesome. Stuart Copeland, man, that's, oh god, that would be so awesome. But just moving on from bands that I've grown up, like, worshipping is the wrong word, but it's pretty much the right word. Moving on from that to a couple of guys that I've seen recently. I haven't really had the opportunity or taken advantage of the opportunity to go out very much this summer. I haven't seen a lot of live shows this summer. But the few that I have been really good. I've seen this guy, Brian Wheat. I saw the Brian Wheat Band a couple of weeks ago, I think 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks ago, and it was really good. It was a little bit different than anything I've seen, but he was very good. Like I said, very different, but his voice was, it strikes you, I guess, if that's really the best way to put it. I mean, he makes you listen to him. He's very, I mean, I don't want to keep saying that word, but he strikes you. He makes you listen. He's good. I looked him up online to see like what other people have said, so that I'm not repeating my opinion 15 times over and over. And I was kind of shocked by what I saw. Probably four or five places I saw people comparing him to bands that I know or have heard of. The Decemberists, I know of. I've never really listened to them, but I do know who they are. I couldn't tell you any of their songs, like I said, but I have heard of them. And I know people that will say, the Decemberists are a great band. So I would assume that that's a compliment. Bright Eyes, I have heard Bright Eyes songs, but definitely not on purpose. But that's just because that's not in my wheelhouse. But like I said, Brian Wheat was different to me. It wasn't really something that I was like, oh, let's go listen to it. But I'm very glad that I did hear it. It was very good. So, you know, I would definitely recommend going and checking him out. You can download his CDs. You can order his CDs. All of this at brianwheatmusic.com. And that's BRIANWHEAT music.com. And then another guy that I've seen play recently in the last month or so is this guy, Tony Denikis. And Tony Denikis is a good family friend. He's a very, very, very good musician. He is probably one of the most musical people I've ever met. He's won quite a few awards. He's been in magazines for his music. He has, I think, 4 or 5 CDs out. He's great, and he's not just a very unassuming guy, but he's not. He's one of those guys that's not. It's not that he's not aware of how big he is. He's just a different person. Like, he's this big, huge presence on stage. And then, you know, you talk to him afterwards and he's just like, hey, man, how's it going? How are you? He's a totally different person, but it's in a great way. He's a hell of a guy. He's a very easygoing, how are you, what's up kind of guy. And I got to play a couple songs with him. I played a little bit of percussion with him on 2 or 3 songs. And I even played a little bit of guitar with him after everybody left. And it was a lot of fun, man. We had a little bit of a musical conversation. It was cool. He's a really nice guy. And his music is available on iTunes. And you can get that. Like I said, on iTunes or on TonyDenikis.com. And his website, like I said, TonyDenikis.com. It's TonyDenikis.com. And that's really the only 2 shows that I've seen this summer, honestly, which is kind of bad. And there's a band I forgot to add in to bands that I've listened to since I was a little kid, but these guys are definitely an older band. Hanson. Hanson is a great band. And a lot of people snicker and turn their nose up at them because they heard the song Umbop 20 years ago. And they think that these guys are the same band. But I promise you, you got to check these guys out. They even they put out an album 3 years after they released Umbop called 3 Car Garage. It's a lot of their stuff, but it's done kind of open, not open mic'd, but it really kind of is. It's done in an open room. It's not all mic'd up. It's kind of the stuff they shopped around to record labels and stuff. And it's how they got signed to a label. Mercury Records, I believe, is the record label that they signed on for Middle of Nowhere, which is their first album. But the new album is called Anthem. They're on a tour right now, promoting it and everything. And it's such a big album. It's a big, fat sound. These guys are awesome. But go check it out. Go buy it. I haven't seen it anywhere in the stores. I got my album, or my copy on the album on the internet. But you can pick it up on iTunes. You can get it on Hanson.net. You can pick it up. I know you can get it on Amazon. So, and if you want to like try before you buy or whatever, I would suggest, there's a song called Get the Girl Back. It's on YouTube. Check that out. And there's also another one called You Can't Stop Us. Check that out. They're both on YouTube. So, go listen to those and see what you like. Those are two of the bigger ones off of the new album. And, you know, see what you think. They're really good. The album is phenomenal. I don't think there's any songs that I don't like off the album. But if you don't like the album, my Twitter handle is The Real Teej, or at The Real Teej, and it's TheReelTeej. That's my email address. It's at gmail.com. It's TheReelTeej at gmail.com. And that's my Gmail. That's my Twitter handle. So if you buy the album and don't like it, email me, tweet me, whatever. Find me on Facebook and let me know. And I'll send you $15. I will send you whatever it costs you to get the album. I'll send you the $15 or whatever. And, you know, we'll call it square. It's worth it. I promise you. You'll appreciate buying that album. So, all right. That's kind of all I've got on music right now. I mean, I can go on and talk for another hour or so, but you won't appreciate as much as I will. So I want to talk about movies for a couple of seconds. I am very interested in movies. And then after that, I'll go on. I've got 10 pages of sports stuff here, and I do want to get to all of that. So as far as movies go, it's not a big deal. I am a nerd. I do like to get into movies. I like watching the behind the scenes and the blooper reels and seeing all the behind the scenes stuff and just, you know, stuff like that. The extended cut and all that kind of stuff. Director's cut. I like watching that kind of stuff. I think it's really cool. And a lot of movies that do that. Kevin Smith. He's really smart. He's a great filmmaker. And there's, you know, his mainstream but indie stuff, Clerks and Clerks 2. His first big hit, I guess, was Mallrats. Everybody knows Mallrats, but a lot of people don't know. I guess a lot of people do know Dogma. But Clerks has also become a big deal. I guess people do know that one now. Chasing Amy, though, I'm not sure how many people have seen Chasing Amy anymore. You know, Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back, a lot of people have seen that. Red State is one that he didn't release in theaters. I know that went straight to, I don't even know that it went straight to DVD. I know it went straight to a Netflix release and a video on demand release. So that was a really interesting, cool movie. He did Cop Out with, my dad's going to hear this and laugh at me because we did this the other day. Tracy Morgan, there we go, I'm so sorry. Tracy Morgan and Bruce Willis and Cop Out. And then Seth Rogen and Elizabeth Banks in Zach and Miri Make a Porno. Which Jason Mewes was actually in that. Those are both really good movies. Well, Zach and Miri was. Cop Out was a terrible movie. But he's making a sequel. He's making a third movie to Clerks. He's making a Clerks 3, which is going to be a great movie. Jeff Anderson has signed on, so that's going to go. And there's a small movie that, unless you really listen to his podcasts and follow him on Twitter, you have no idea what it is, and it won't make any sense to you, but it's called Tusk. and it's gonna be hilarious. You gotta follow him on Twitter, listen to Smodcast to really understand what it is. So I'm gonna stop going on about it. Other movies I really, really enjoy are the Star Wars movies. I have seen all of them in theaters. Episode 1, Episode 2, and Episode 3, I all saw on my birthday. Episode 3, my dad and I went to the midnight release for, which was amazing. I just found out earlier today that John Williams is going to be back for the for Episode 7. And even if you don't know that you know who John Williams is, you know who John Williams is. He's the guy... he's the guy responsible for the Imperial March. He's the guy responsible for, Star Wars. He's the guy responsible for the sound of Star Wars. And I can't, I can't do it justice. Dun, 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 dun. I'm in a low rent kind of studio area right now, so I don't have the sound effects buttons and all that, but I'm working on it. But yeah, man, I'm pretty excited to hear that. But everybody loves Star Wars, man. Even kids today, and I sound like an old guy when I say that, but even kids today, man, everybody loves Star Wars. Moving past that, Garden State is a movie, kind of an indie movie written by Zach Braff. He's the main character in Scrubs. He wrote a movie called Garden State, which is about his mom dies, and he feels like it's his fault that he paralyzed his mom when he was younger, and he's lived in L.A. his whole life, and he comes back to New Jersey to bury his mom. It's a really good movie, and a cool little factoid about this movie is Natalie Portman has epilepsy in this movie, so that's really cool. V for Vendetta is another movie that I have loved for a long time and saw again for the first time in forever, probably 2 weeks ago I watched it, and God, it's such an awesome movie. And I can't even begin to describe this movie because I'm not going to do it justice. So, it's amazing. I heard a couple of other things movie-related probably 20 minutes ago, listening to a, surprise, surprise, a Kevin Smith podcast. X-Men Days of Future Past. They are currently, I'm not even sure if they're filming that right now. I know they're gearing up to film it. I know they've done teaser trailers about the Sentinels. They've got a couple of things up about those. So that's going to be... It's going to be such a cool movie. And I can go on and on about this movie and why I'm glad they've kept this separate from the other Iron Man and Thor and the Avengers and all this stuff. I know that there should be a crossover, and I know that there is in the comics and stuff. I know that crossovers do exist, you know, and in the comic books and stuff, but I have refused to see the other ones, because the other ones being the Avengers. I have seen the Iron Man first and second one, but I'm not because I wanted to, because I was over someone's house and they were on. I haven't actively watched them, but they're all the same movie. They have the same formula for all those movies. Now, the X-Men movies are they're not completely different, but they're good movies. They follow a story. The Spider-Man movies are following a story, and DC is doing... See, I'll do a whole different podcast on this, because I'll go on about this for... I really will for 30 minutes. But let me just say that even though the Marvel side has a lot more movies, DC is absolutely winning with quality. They're going to win because they're going to go quality over quantity, and they're going to have the Justice League movie done. And even though there's going to be 8 Avengers movies, by the time the Justice League movie is done, the Justice League movie is going to be 10 times better, and I'm not even a DC fan. But if you look at the way the Batman movie begins, Dark Knight, and Dark Knight Rises, just how those 3 movies have represented the DC universe, and Man of Steel, how that's done to represent the DC universe, and what they're... it's just going to be a lot better. Like I said, I can go on about this for far too long. I'm not going to. I'll bring this up in another podcast. I just think the DC universe is going to be so much better. They're just going to be so much more well represented in the movies, I think. So, all right. Now that I've talked about all that forever and ever, let's see if I can get all these sports in enough time to make it worth it. All right. The NFL Hall of Fame game and all the inductions were yesterday. Start off with the inductions because that's what happened before the game. Chris Carter, Curly Culp, Jonathan Ogden, Bill Parcells, Dave Robinson, and Warren Sapp were all the guys that were inducted. Jonathan Ogden, cool, small story really quick. I've made him a sandwich. He played for Baltimore. When they were having spring training, not spring training, it's baseball. I guess a summer camp or something up there in Reisterstown. Well, that's where their team facility is. They have their camp in at McDaniel. No, but their team facilities are in Reisterstown, which is right down the road from where I used to work. And I've made this man a sandwich. And the same thing with Haloti Ngata. And these guys are huge in person, man. I mean, they're giant. They're giant. A couple of these guys have also come into Buffalo Wild Wings, where I used to work. But yeah, I'm sorry. I'm getting way off topic. The Cowboys won. If anybody can win this game, I guess the Cowboys won. And the Dolphins had new uniforms, but I really and truly couldn't tell the difference. I know that apparently they had less orange and there was a new stripe somewhere. I heard a couple people say that today and I didn't see it anywhere. The Packers left tackle, something like Brian Bulaga, I guess his name is. He tore his ACL. So they're attempting to remedy that by signing Vince Young for a year. And my assumption is that if Aaron Rodgers goes down, if he gets hurt because they lost a tackle, then he's going to be able to, I guess Vince Young's going to be there. You know, they're going to have a decent backup. So that'll be cool, I guess. And I also saw yesterday before the game, they were talking about this is the year that the Dolphins believe they can challenge the Patriots for the AFC East. So if anyone else heard that, again, please tweet me or email me or something, because I don't know that. I don't want to think that I was hearing stuff, but that's just not right. I don't think that the Dolphins can challenge anyone, honestly, in a game. But, you know, that's just me. Like I said at the beginning of the podcast, the NCAA is looking into the whole Johnny Manziel thing. The allegations and all this stuff about him signing autographs and signing autographs and stuff for money. Apparently it happened at the BCS game in Miami. He was signing the little helmets, and he refused to sign any more autographs without being compensated. So, I mean, exactly what it sounds like. He didn't want to sign any more autographs without being paid or compensated, I guess is what they have to say, because the rule in college football is you're not allowed to be paid for anything. Once you start, this is my understanding, is once you start getting paid, you know, you become a professional. You're not allowed to be paid to play football. Paid for what you do. I don't agree with that, because I think if your name goes on something, you know, if I have a jersey and my name's going on the back of it, I'm sure as hell gonna get paid for it. And you know, they have the whole your likeness and all that stuff. You're not allowed to get paid for any of that. But I promise you, if I'm signing something and somebody can sell it for money, I'm gonna get paid for it. But that's an NCAA rule, and I don't think that's fair. These kids, they're excellent athletes. We all know that they're 19, 20, 21 years old. You gotta understand that they're gonna try and make money off the fact that, look, I've got a jersey and there's a name on the back of it. It's my name. It's the number one selling jersey in the nation, higher than Brady, higher than Rodriguez, higher than, you know, all these people. And it's not fair that I've got the number one selling jersey and I'm not getting a dollar from it. But that's just how I feel, man. And, you know, that's my two cents on it. And it's not the first time this has happened. Like, AJ Green sold his jersey for, he sold his jersey for a couple of bucks a couple years ago. Terrell Pryor. And there was a bunch of people that year. They sold rings, they sold shoes, they sold jerseys, all that stuff, man. Cam Newton. And I hate to trash Cam Newton, but he was doing the same type of thing, man. And these guys, they're 20, 21-year-old kids. Some of them not even. They played 2 years and they're out. They're going to the pros. And I think we have to look at what we're turning these guys into. And, you know, you also got to look at the fact that, you know, this isn't the first thing that he's done this summer. I mean, you don't want to call it a season because the season's 6 hours old. They had their first practice 6 o'clock this afternoon. But this summer, I mean, he was drinking at the frat party this summer or earlier this spring. He left Manning's summer camp earlier this summer because he was, and you can't see my fingers, but I'm doing the air quotes, because he was sick. I mean, I get it, you know, maybe he was sick, but maybe he wasn't. And it's just, it's not fair to the straight shooters and the guys like that. And to be perfectly honest, I kind of hope he does get in trouble. And I hope it sends a message to the people, hey, look, man, this is what happens. This is the real world and you can't cheat. Because that, to me, is kind of what the whole A-Rod thing's all about. And I'll circle back around to that in a second. And I know that's kind of me coming out of both ends and saying, oh, well, I think he should be able to, but the rule is that you can't do that. So, yeah, I think he should be able to, but that's not what the rule says. The rule says you can't. So it doesn't matter what I think because I'm not on the NCAA board. The rule is that's laid down by the guys that make the rules. The rule says you can't do that. So I would suggest they don't do that. Once again, I don't agree with it, but I have to abide by it. I mean, I'm not going to go off on a thing about rules either because I don't have the time. You don't have the patience. So, like I said, as far as Johnny Manziel, it's just, he's not, and you know what, man, it's not like Texas A&M doesn't have the quarterbacks. They've got five other quarterbacks that they can start. The only problem is, he's the only one with more than 10 passes in an actual game. This guy, Matt Jokel, he's a four-year junior. He's a big guy. He's a pocket passer. They would have to pretty much change their whole offense because it's all based around Manziel anyway. I mean, you know, or do you just put one of the freshmen in? They've got, I think, two more sophomores and two more freshmen. So do you put one of these guys in and kind of get them to learn under fire? You know, it's their second year in the SEC. Let them. I don't know. Once again, thoughts, opinions, tweet me or come find me or email me or find me on Facebook. I'm on all three. Moving on to Major League Baseball. I'm going to hit everything and then come back to A-Rod because I have quite a few opinions on that as well. The Pittsburgh Pirates, or should I say the number one team in Major League Baseball right now. Got a 6.04 winning percentage, which is the best in baseball, like I said. The Red Sox are in second. And the Atlanta Braves are the third best team in baseball right now. They're 5.98. And this is another thing I saw. The closest division in baseball is the National League West. Between first and last place, 12 games. Now, in the National League East, between first and second place, the Atlanta Braves and the Washington Nationals, the difference is 12 and a half games. So, between first and last in the West is closer than first and second in the East. That's insane. Okay. As long as there's going to be a way to cheat, and there's always going to be a way to cheat. I mean, hell, if you and I get up to run a race tomorrow, and I happen to know that you're going to perform better if you get up and drink 2 bottles of water first thing in the morning, it's going to help you run your race, as opposed to you getting up and only drinking one. That is basically cheating. I mean, for all intents and purposes, that's cheating. It's not a performance-enhancing drug, but that's cheating. Cheating will always exist. It's an edge. It's having an edge over your opponent. Now, if I came and told you, hey, man, did you know that drinking this bottle of water will also, or a second bottle of water will give you an edge and will help you out? And you saying, no, it won't. Now, that's you, me giving you advice and you blowing it off. That's different. But everyone's gonna cheat if they can. Everyone will. It doesn't matter who you are. It's not, and some people call, not everyone's gonna call it cheating. An unfair advantage. You know, not everyone's gonna call it cheating, but everyone will cheat. And but like I said, it's not always such a cut and dry type of thing. But if you can cheat, you will cheat, and that's you got to look at it that way, man. And it's terrible, but that's kind of what it's come down to. If I get up and do 10 push-ups, and you know, I know that that's going to stimulate this and stimulate this, and it's going to wake up my muscles in the morning, and I know that I can do 10 more of these before you can do 10 more of these, and it's easier for me, that's cheating. I mean, look at things that way. It's not necessarily a performance-enhancing drug, but it kind of is. Like I said, the push-ups become the drug because it's giving me an edge. It's cheating. And I'm not gonna give 1,000 examples because that's redundant. But just think about it that way. Everything, there's a way to cheat in everything, and most people, 99.99% of people will cheat if given the opportunity. So from there, you know, like I said, a lot of people want it to be a one-and-done type of thing. Derek Jeter is back on the disabled list. He's only played like 5 games this season, which is sad because I don't even think he's got that many seasons left. As much as I hate the Yankees, and I think Alex Rodriguez is a terrible guy, I hate this for their organization because they're all going to come under scrutiny now because, you know, looking at the list, there's 2 other guys that were Yankees that were suspended. And these guys, you know, like I said, I'm gonna circle back around, but 12 other guys were caught. It's not that 12 other guys were using. 12 other guys were caught using performance-enhancing drugs and were suspended for 50 games. And they're using the term performance-enhancing drugs because it's prettier than steroids. But these guys were using steroids and got caught. And, And if you look at it this way, one, two, three of them were from the Yankees. Two of them were from the Mets. Two of them were from the Padres. Look at the list and look at how many were from the same team. I mean, it just... Do you think that's a coincidence? No. There's no way that is a coincidence. I don't think it is. You know, there's no possible way that two out of 25 guys on the same team got caught. I think that means 23 guys figured out a way to beat it. That's what that means to me. Now, coming back to Alex Rodriguez, because that's where we are on this beautiful, wonderful Monday. Since he is appealing the suspension, and he's been suspended 211 games through the 2014 season, he's gonna play he played third base tonight, and he's batting cleanup in Chicago. And that's, it's not that I don't understand it. I understand the reasons why, and I know why he's allowed to do this. I just don't understand. I don't understand why he's allowed to do that. And I guess I do. Bud Selig had the opportunity to stop this. He could have played the "I'm the commissioner, you can't do this" card, you know, and stopped him from playing. But he didn't, because he feels there's enough evidence to allow to be caught on his own. So I understand that. And he's got his own reasons, and that's okay. But, I mean, now that Alex Rodriguez has appealed, and I refuse to call him A-Rod anymore, you've lost your right to a cool nickname, buddy. Now that Alex Rodriguez has appealed, it will take, I think they said, like 45 days. I mean, that's a month and a half. That's, think about it, August, September, that's halfway through September. That's almost playoff time, guys. That is playoff time, really. That he'll be in the lineup for the Yankees. The Yankees, who are almost 10 games back right now, could be back into the playoffs, could be back into the race for the playoffs. And he could really make that much difference for a team. I mean, as much as I hate him and as much of a jerk and an a-hole as he is, he can make that much difference for a team. He's got a bat. And, you know, he could do it. He could make, like I said, that much difference for a team. So he could bring the Yankees back into the playoff chase, which would just... Oh, that would ruin my fall. That would just be terrible. But he's allowed to play, and he'll be able to play until the appeal is over. Not over, but until it comes to a conclusion. So, it's mystifying to me, and I don't understand why that's allowed to happen. I hope that somewhere this makes sense. There's a reality that this makes sense in, because it doesn't in this one. Not at all. And once again, if this makes sense to you, please feel free to tweet me or email me some kind of explanation. I'm looking forward to it. But, I mean, the Yankees owe this man almost $100 million. I just want to take a pause and let that sink in. The New York Yankees, even though Alex Rodriguez is suspended 211 games, owe this guy almost $100. Now, if he is suspended, they don't have to pay him. And I think all roads lead to him being suspended, because in 2009 he admitted to using performance-enhancing drugs. And I think he did before then, too. And if you ask a lot of the players, maybe not in the Yankees clubhouse, because they've probably been instructed not to or whatever, but a lot of players around the league will tell you that they don't think he's ever played clean baseball. I mean, they think that it's a self-esteem type of thing for this guy. I'm just so tired of hearing about it for the last couple of days and the whole biogenesis thing, and I'm just glad it's all come out and it's all happened, and maybe now we can hear about something else for the next 3 weeks. Maybe the world will go crazy about preseason football. Speaking of preseason, well, not necessarily preseason, but hockey is only 57 days away. It's Monday. It's 47 minutes until Tuesday, but 57 days until hockey season starts, guys. So 58 days until the Ducks at the Avalanche still. But, you know, I was looking this up, and I know I said last week how excited I would have been if Jaguar would have been coming back when the Avalanche played the Ducks at the Ducks, like if our first game would have been at Honda Center, or as I still like to call it, the Pond. Arrowhead Pond. That would be so awesome if we could just go back to calling it the Pond. But anyway, and I did my homework. I did what I should have done last week and looked it up today, and it's not. It's in Colorado. But in 69 days, Mr. Ryan comes back to the Pond for the first time. The Senators will be at the Ducks for the first time since he left Anaheim. So that will be a game to watch, because a lot of people have left Anaheim, and I like to think we have some pretty classy fans. I know a lot of the guys and ladies that I follow on Twitter that are Ducks fans. A lot of us don't really shit talk people that have left Anaheim. There are a few that, you know, you leave Anaheim and you know, a lot of people will shit talk you. But Bobby Ryan, man, he's one of the guys that has tweeted his fans and just kind of let people know how much he appreciates his fans. And the fact that he made the move to Ottawa, it sucks because he was a hell of a hockey player as well as a hell of a guy. But, you know, business is business and hockey is hockey. And he's going to play just as hard for them as he played for us. But it's going to be really, really cool just to see the way that he comes back and plays for them against us in Anaheim. It's going to be really cool to watch. So, not only if you're a Ducks fan, man, but if you're a hockey fan as well, that's going to be a kick-ass game to watch. But just if you're a hockey fan in general, like I said, hockey starts 57 days with the Leafs and the Montreal Canadiens, the Capitals, and the Stanley Cup champion Chicago Blackhawks, and the Winnipeg Jets at the Edmonton Oilers. So I think it's interesting that the Caps and the Hawks are the only two non-Canadian teams that are playing on opening night. I think it's really cool, but I think it's pretty interesting. I think this season's going to be awesome. It's the way I just can't wait. I'm so excited. I'm stoked for everything that's coming up this fall. All my fantasy teams are looking to do well, and if you have suggestions, you know, for things I should do or shouldn't do, let me know. But I'm probably going to end up doing a podcast entirely on fantasy football, and where I sit down and talk about fantasy football and talk about my team, because unless you guys want to tweet in your teams and let me know, or email me your teams and let me know, yeah, I'm probably going to sit down and kind of go through a day where I look at my teams and assess my teams and talk about the trades that people are trying to make with me and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, but that's kind of the podcast for this week. I am at time, or what I'm hoping my time will be. So just a couple of things that I'm hoping to do in the next couple of days. Normally I won't do two or three in a week, but my younger sister, Chrissy, is coming. She's coming in town tomorrow. Hopefully she comes in early, like 6, 7 o'clock, but she's going to get up and leave late because she is out drinking and hanging out with her friend Emily tonight. It's her friend's 21st birthday, so they're going to go out and have fun tonight. So hopefully, you know, they'll come in early enough to kind of hang out and sit in for a podcast either tomorrow night or they'll be here. And we can do one Wednesday night, but I'd really, really, really like to do one with her just to kind of get her in and, you know, kind of mess around and, I don't know, get her in and put her voice on the airwaves, man. So what she's going to do for me is be my, what does she call it, my proofer. She wants her title to be proofer. But she's going to help me out every week, and she's gonna listen to my stuff and let me know what I should do. She's going to kind of, I called it the content editor, but that's what she's going to do. She's going to listen to everything and help me out. So we'll get her in here tomorrow and probably give out her Twitter and her email and all that kind of stuff. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you even made it this far through the podcast, I really appreciate you guys listening and tuning in. Hopefully you will stick around. And hopefully you'll make it through till tomorrow, and I can talk to you guys again. Listen to me and my sister mess around, and we will see you next time. All right, thanks for listening.
We were born before the wind, also younger than the sun, and the bonny boat was won as we sailed into. Hark now, hear the sailors cry. Smell the sea, feel the sky. Let your soul and spirit fly into the mystic. When that foghorn blows, we'll be coming home. And when that foghorn blows, I wanna hear it. I don't have to fear it.